Hey everybody, Tim Evanicki here with The College Audition, back again with another episode of The College Audition Podcast, here today with my special guest, Kurt Heinlein, professor and coordinator of the BFA acting program at Missouri State University. Thanks so much for joining us today, Kurt.
I appreciate it, Tim. It's great to be with you.
So before we get to know a little bit more about the acting program there, could you tell us a little bit about yourself, your career, and the events that led to your time at Missouri State?
Yeah, sure. Like you said, I'm the coordinator of the acting program here. I'm not a Midwestern guy. I actually grew up in Baltimore. I got my a BA in theater from St. Mary's College of Maryland, and then went on to get an MFA from University of Cincinnati Conservatory of Music. And then I went straight to New York. I worked in New York for many, many years. I continued to work in New York, actually, while I was a professor here for a good number of years, and still do. And I worked, bi-coastal. I worked in L.A. quite a bit, and also in New Orleans and in Atlanta a little bit. I've worked, national tours and high-level New York City work, regional theater, film, television. I'm also a stunt coordinator, so I do a lot of stunt coordination and stunt performances. And these days, now that I'm a professor, I'm really, in terms of time allowances, I'm doing a lot of stunts for commercials and films and whatnot. So I came to Missouri State, I think it's been 17 years now, which we came here with, some wonderful things I heard about the program, it being in development and exciting, in an exciting place to launch. It was already doing great things. It has a great history to it. And it just seemed, and I came for the visit, and the students seemed special in that they just had a certain amount of, I can't even explain it, a drive and a desire to learn that I hadn't seen in interviews at some other places that I went to. The students were just hungry for information, for education, and it was really attractive as an educator. So that's how I ended up at Missouri State. And my wife and I actually, we said, we're not from Missouri, we'll give it 2 years. Let's see how it goes. And we've had many opportunities over the years to move back to the coast or to move to the West Coast, and we're in a special place. So we love it here, and the university has been great to us, and so we're not going anywhere right now. Yeah.
Yeah, I moved to Florida for 6 months 20 years ago. So I understand
right,
what you're saying.
That's how it works. I love it. I love that.
Now, Kurt, when someone Googles your name, the very first thing that pops up is Kurt Gerard Heinlein, author. Mm-hmm. What is that about?
Yeah, here's the deal. I'm a performer. I am an actor. But I'm also somebody who's very passionate about social issues. And some years back, before entering university teaching, I didn't know how to teach. I mean, I knew how to act. I knew what my acting teachers had taught me. But I didn't know academia. I didn't know how to teach. So I was like, I'm gonna get a PhD, and which is very sort of non-traditional for a performance teacher. But I did. I entered in the LSU's PhD program. And at that time, I just had the opportunity to put things to paper. And I had a great mentor who said, you have to write a dissertation. And I said, well, I'm an actor. What am I going to write about? Exactly. He said, well, what are the two things you love the most? I said, performance and, our environment, the world we live in. He said, write about it. And at the time, there was really not a lot of green. Green theater wasn't even really a term. You heard of eco theater. So I said, I'm going to write a book about green theater and how we can use our art form to perhaps change the way people reflect upon our environmental issues, but also act on environmental issues. So that's what I wrote. And I wrote a consequent play and a screenplay. And now I'm writing with a team of writers in Los Angeles as well. So it's really kind of developed into a career path I did not expect, and which is really exciting, actually. Yeah, we're writing, to go from writing a doctorate or writing a dissertation for a doctorate from an actor to being with a team of writers in LA working on network stuff. It's just a wild and unexpected path of travel. So.
And what is the title?
Of which one?
there's several.
Well, the book I wrote is called it's Green Theater, and then I wrote a play called Evangeline Drowning, which got turned into a short film called Between the Crag and the Sky. And from that, we don't actually, the project I'm writing right now, we don't have a title. We're working with a team, and we're working on a script. So, yeah.
And so, switching gears back to your collegiate life, what are the, what is the degree or are the degrees that you oversee?
So I oversee the BFA acting program. My official title is Coordinator of BFA Acting. But I also oversee, we have an acting on camera certificate program, and I oversee that as well.
Okay. Let's dive into the BFA acting program.
Sure.
And tell me, if I was a freshman headed to Missouri State for my first year in the BFA acting program, what does that year look like for me?
You know, it's a conservatory style program. We don't tend to throw out the word conservatory a lot because we are in a liberal arts university where you are required to take gen eds. But the training is a conservatory outlook. You know, our acting teachers here, they're top notch. They're some of the best in the country, and they expect a lot out of our students. You know, it's an audition entrance program. And so our students come in and they're driven. They're ready to work. And so that first year is pretty intense and pretty focused. You know, you'll come in your first semester. Of course, you'll be in Acting Studio 1, and you'll be in what we call Tools for the Actor 1, which is voice and movement. You'll have any other sort of studio classes, depending what you come in with. And one of the things you can do here that actually we switched this up recently is first semester students can perform. So I know that's something we didn't always do, but as the level of our student has continued, and academic, you know, just the academic credentials and the artistic credentials of our students has increased over the years. We made the decision recently, let's let them perform their first semester in because they're coming in super ready. And so they might be performing their first semester, you know, whether it be in a one act or a student film, so on and so forth. So it's pretty intense, pretty quick. I think the thing that maybe most students are surprised by is how intense the training gets very fast, in a good way. You know, and as you know, Tim, I mean, that first semester is really students, some of them are just completely relearning their outlook. And for some of them, it's the first time they've ever been in an environment where they've gone from, I love this, to I love this, and I'm going to make a living at this. So it completely, you know, it completely changes the outlook and the trajectory, and defines everything we do in the classroom. So it is intense, but it is beautifully intense in that we're doing what we love and they're doing what they love. And, you know, our students come from all over the country. So they're sharing the classroom with students, actually not just from over the country, from, you know, internationally as well. So it's an interesting, economically and socially diverse group of students, and they're in there together. So
what are the required courses your first year? Sort of give us that outlook and overview of what they're going to be studying year over year.
Yeah, let me think through this. Semester one, of course, like I mentioned, Acting One, Tools for the Actor One. Those are your two primary studio classes. You'll be in acting class, you know, every day of the week. And we have on Fridays, we have what is called an acting lab, which is an addition to the acting and the voice and movement classes, in which we bring in guest artists on Fridays. We'll teach special topics, workshops, that type of thing. So that's every single Friday. Students are generally also, they do have a few tech requirements here, so we'll ask that students take their, generally their first tech requirement that first semester. We'll ask them to get done one of their gen ed classes, you know, generally their first writing class. And then second semester is a continuation. They'll have their second voice and movement class, their second acting class. And once they get through that, they start to branch off into they have acting one, two, three, four, and then they go into, you know, Shakespeare, acting on camera, auditioning for camera, acting on film, you name it. So yeah, the first year is, you know, I call it well, it's really building a foundation of honesty and craft, that whole first year. And so that's really where we're focused in that Acting 1 and 2 class. Acting 1 is, I teach Acting 1, and it is really, I call it Meisner Light, in that, it takes on the notions and some of the tools of Meisner, but it doesn't get, it avoids any intrusion psychologically, of course. We want to take care of our people. And acting two is more Stanislavski based, and they start picking it up. Okay, you know, sort of more methodical. You know, acting one is super organic. Acting two, they're given some more harder tools of, you know, script analysis and beats. And by the way, script analysis is another class that they take their first year that I forgot to mention. But
and you mentioned a couple times now that there are, of course, gen eds required as part of the mm-hmm. degree. Can you speak to a little bit of an overview as to how much that actually is?
Yeah, I can't, you know, I'm trying to recall the exact number of gen ed hours, and I'm not sure what it is. Generally, our students will be taking a gen ed or two per semester for their first 2 years. They might trickle into the junior year. We really try and get them out of the way before their senior year, so their senior year is just really light. You know, my hope is that senior year they're really taking 12 hours a semester, and they're all focused on their craft. So really, it's the first 2 years, maybe 2.5 years that we're looking at for the gen eds. Mm-hmm. Gen eds will cover, you know, traditional university gen eds, anything from your two writing requirements to your science requirements to like public policy, things like that. And, you know, and we believe in it here. You know, and the students we aim to admit, we talk to them about that. We want to make sure it's the right fit for them. You know, it is academically challenging here, and not just in terms of performance classes, but the course of study as a whole. You know, we found that the students who embrace those, who do well in those, tend to do exceedingly well out in the industry. Mm-hmm. They know how to navigate time, they're broad thinkers, they understand structuring schedule, they understand how to create a business, turn themselves into a business. So we get behind the gen eds and believe in them, and it's part of who we are. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So talk a little bit more about the ability to then minor in other things, either within the performing arts there or outside, and to have them really expand what their interests are and what they're studying.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, personally as a professional, I think it's a huge question because, you know, I'll tell you, Tim, when I got out of school, I'm 53. When I got out of school, it was, don't tell any casting directors you know how to write or do anything other but act. So, and these days, as you know, actors need to create their own content. They need to be better promoters of self. So I think the minor really comes into play with that. And you can minor here. You're not required to as a BFA acting student. Any of the BFA degrees here do not require a minor. But if a student is interested in minoring, we are all behind it. Popular minors would be film and media. Perhaps some will take a foreign language. Some will take creative writing, or, you know, some of them really focus on writing for film and television. Or we actually have an MA in writing for stage and screen here. So some of them will focus in that direction, writing for stage mm-hmm. as well. So we encourage it, you know. I mentioned the acting on camera certificate. Now, that is not a minor, but it carries the same number of hours as a minor. It's 18 hours. So a lot of our students, and that's a newer program, a lot of our students now are electing to do the acting degree track with the acting on camera certificate as well. So, and, you know, they have a pretty heavy on-camera focus anyway, their junior, senior years as acting students. So this is just in addition to that, additional production study and filmmaking, additional, there's a requirement, you know, that they be in a faculty supervised film. So it's just an additional aspect to how our students are using a minor. But yeah, a lot of our students might, some minor in dance, actually quite a few minor in dance, or music, voice. Mm-hmm. We have a number of students who are phenomenal singers, and we who just for their own reasons might not want a musical theater program. You know, and mm-hmm. I mean, that's the route I went. I was a singer, actor, and I didn't want a musical theater program at the time. And so they find that's a better fit for them. So they go that route. And we have We do have a designated voice teacher for the acting students as well, singing voice. So
let's go back to the certificate for a moment.
Sure, of course.
Since we were segueing right into that, I think it's a good time to pause before we go to the next section.
Of course.
So you mentioned it's the same number of hours as a minor. So how long does it take to add the certificate on to their current study?
You know, that's the cool benefit of it. When we created the program, well, let me back up actually a second and tell you why we created the program. Obviously, there's a real pressing need for theater performers to know how to be on camera. I mean, if we always tell our students, you know, we don't just want you to work, we want you to have a lifelong career. And that means being employable in a variety of facets. And so, you know, being on camera, whether that's your primary goal or a secondary goal, we think is important to their training. So, you know, we do showcases in both New York and LA. Going out to LA and going to New York, I have found that going to other showcases, sometimes I'll be surprised to see that they don't have any on-camera training. Especially this is LA, you know, we're entering a very film-focused market. And I kept hearing from, and we did, we were pressing for more and building more, but we realized this is really very, very, very important that students have, with a theater degree, an acting degree under the topic of theater, that students have a notable certificate or minor, whatever the case may be, that says I have good on-camera training in addition to use. So especially for Los Angeles. And so we started developing this program, and the program is open to musical theater students, it is open to acting students, it's open to our BA, BS students. They do have to audition to get in. But it's 18 hours. It's an easy path for an acting student, actually. We built it so that 18 of the hours are hours that they're, 9 of those hours they already are required to take as an acting student. So an acting student only has an additional 9 hours to take to attain the certificate, to get through the certificate program. And they have all 4 years to take those classes. So it's a pretty easy path for them for a pretty large benefit, yeah.
So training is training is training, and it's never a bad idea to broaden your horizons and experience different parts of your art form. Tell me though, why certificate and not minor? Why is that a certificate and not a minor?
Well, it's, you know, it's just the way the curriculum is built. It just allows a different kind of ownership over how the program is handled, you know, how all of the above. It just gives us a little more autonomy with the way we govern the program, and which will ultimately benefit our students even more. So that's why we went the certificate route. Mm-hmm. You know, and the other thing is their students can create a personalized minor already in film and theater. So they can do that. It takes, you know, getting faculty members from both areas on board. So the certificate is a little different than a minor might be. And minors also tend to, if you look at the construct of a lot of minors, they'll have like sort of, I don't know, I'll just refer to it as like a minor gen ed, meaning you're doing a minor in a foreign language, and two of those classes will not be super focused on actually learning the language. They'll be broader topic things relating to that minor. The great thing about a certificate is every class you take is like, bam, 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 hitting my craft, in every point of the way. Because again, it's allowed us some autonomy the way we govern and we handle the curriculum, which is great.
Yeah. So back to BFA acting, you mentioned that you have now begun to allow first semester freshmen to perform, which is great. Talk to us a little bit more about the performance opportunities overall at Missouri State.
Yeah, there's one of the things that I like here and I think really benefits our students is we are a larger university. But we're still a very small program within a larger university. So we have all the resources that come with a larger university, but with all the teaching focus that comes with a small personalized acting program. So our students have a lot of performance opportunities, almost too many. You've probably heard this a million times. One of our struggles is helping them learn how to say no when the time comes. But you know, we put seven productions on the main stage each year. We have a professional equity theater in the summer, which is three more productions, which is tent theater, which is really exciting, actually. Right, just yesterday we opened up a new theater, John Goodman Amphitheater, which is really exciting. They have we have a second stage season. We have, I think, three touring groups. There are two student-governed production groups, and they do wonderful productions, both musicals and straight plays and dance concerts. We have one acts that they perform in both fall and spring. I don't want to leave out film. Our students do a lot of film, whether they be student films from the film department or faculty-directed films. We also have, you know, one of the benefits of working faculty is that when we book a film, we try to take as many students on board as possible. And these are union films. So actually, a film is coming to Arkansas and Texas next month, and I'm going to do my best to carry, I've been hired for, so I'm going to carry as many students as I can with me to that project. So our students are working on feature films as well, which is pretty cool. It's an abundance of wonderful things, honestly.
Yeah. Are all productions on campus open to all majors?
They are. The honest other answer to that is it's competitive. You know, we have, in any audition-based program, you know, you have students coming in from around the country, and they're exceeding at their craft, and they're in acting class every single day and in voice class. It's going to be competitive to get on the main stage. Mm-hmm. So if you are minoring in Spanish, you may get cast. I mean, we cast non-performance majors as much as we can allow, but it is competitive to get on the main stage, which is where, you know, the student groups really come into play, I think, to serve additional populations of students that have an interest in theater and dance. Mm-hmm. So
you mentioned a couple times your faculty that continues to work in the industry. Mm-hmm. So other than yourself, share with us some of the key players that students are going to interact with while they're there.
Yeah, Bob Westenberg coordinates our musical theater program. Bob, folks might know Bob by name, has had a very long, exciting Broadway career, but also in film and television. And Bob is still actively engaged with that personnel, that industry. And he's, Bob, along with Heather Llewellyn, who is our musical director, coordinate the New York Showcase. And so they're always building bridges for our students. I'm going to back this up a second and say, here's the cool thing about our acting teachers and the names I'm going to mention. They're all really, really teaching because they want to be, and because they love teaching, which to have someone like Bob at that level and that standard of professional credits and visibility, who is unbelievably passionate about teaching, is extraordinary. So we have Bob on board, we have Heather on board, we have Joe Price as our he's been our department head, I want to say, for 3 years now, 4 years. And Joe has a very, very rich career in professional theater. Sarah Wiggin is one of our other primary acting teachers, and Sarah is also had and has a very rich career in regional theater and high level theater around the country. You know, they're all union performers and Actors Equity and SAG-AFTRA and still working, and a passionate group of people. And there are others. I think one of the things that might make us a little different than some other programs that house both acting and MT, not all, but there is so much crossover between acting and musical theater here. You know, they share their first four acting classes together, and we do that for a reason. They share singing for the actor together. Now, of course, not all their classes. You know, once you get past acting, acting for and singing for the actor, you know, you can elect not to share as many classes together. But that philosophy that that you have to be an incredible actor to be a musical theater performer, and that as an actor, you should at least have the tools to be in a musical audition, even if you're not a singer, so to speak, I think is who we are all professionally, because we've all worked across all mediums and continue to do so. So that's a little different here. I know that, you know, in some places there's a little more of a partition between programs, and that is just not the case here.
That's great.
Yeah, so but that, I guess, reflects upon our faculty and the fact that they're working across mediums, you know?
Yeah. And what about some success stories of students that have gone through the program?
Yeah. Look, if you do the tour, the Missouri State Tour, they're going to tell you, you're going to hear Kathleen Turner, you're going to hear John Goodman, you're going to hear these names, and I already mentioned John because he just helped build us a theater out back, and which is fantastic. But, you know, the reality, I mean, that's amazing. We're so proud of them, and they give so much to us. But I think the more articulate thing for students to look at, whether it be looking at us or anybody, is what most recent graduates are doing. You know, are they getting to industry centers? Are they getting representation? Are they booking? You know, are they, even at a foundational level, are they booking? And our students are doing really well at it. I'll give you a couple examples. I wrote down a couple. I didn't want to miss these because and these are names you might not know, and I throw them out for that reason. Troy Metcalf is, you've probably seen Troy in shows like The Middle and Superstore and things like that. Troy is has a supporting lead in the film Babylon with Brad Pitt, and I think Margot Robbie, which is coming out in December. Courtney Loster, who is touring in Hadestown right now. She just booked her first national tour, which is super cool. And Jason Michael Evans, who was an acting student, who's touring in Anastasia. So those are examples of recent people, more recent people than got out, not just the Goodmans and the Kathleen Turners. But they're doing quite well. And you know, we also have students, I'll tell you, one of the great things about, you know, our students exiting this program is we were a little ahead of the camera work before COVID hit, so our students got out there during COVID and knew how to handle that with, you know, self-taping in the industry. And so we actually have a student who named Michael, who got out and actually started a self-tape studio in LA, and it's during COVID, and it's exploded. Now he's like, okay, I gotta keep acting, because this has gone too well, and now he's doing self-tapes and auditions for celebs. So. And he's doing exceedingly well. So they're doing great, you know. If we sat down and watched TV tonight, I know we can't sit down and watch Broadway shows together tonight, but if we sat down and watched TV for 3 or 4 hours, I'd sit and say, there's one, there's one, there's one. Tons of national commercials. You see them all over the TV. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
So at the end of their 4 years, you had mentioned the showcases, of course, and I want you to talk about that. But what other tools do you give the students? How do you prepare them for that transition into professional life?
Well, I mean, you know, and I think one of the things that some students find surprising is that they have to not just be a solid performer, they have to be a business person. And going to New York or LA or Atlanta or New Orleans or Toronto, wherever you go, if you don't know how to run yourself as a business, it's going to be very difficult to succeed. So we start that sophomore year. You know, we have in their auditioning for the camera class, we have a business portion. And then they have in their auditions class, there's a real heavy business focus. And then the whole senior year, both acting and musical theater, is spent not just preparing for showcase artistically, but understanding how to build themselves, build a website, build their, you know, tune into Actors Access, learn how to market themselves for the showcase, look at themselves as a business and say, where and how do I market my particular skills and assets right now as entering the career? So that whole senior year I spent in preparation for that. And then the showcase themselves are a bridge. You know, I think our showcases, yes, it's absolutely about garnering representation, and our students do very well, but it's also about developing alumni relationships with working alumni, It's also about getting to an urban center, a market center, and saying, is this where I want to be? You know, spending the week there, taking workshops from professionals and saying, is this where I want to be? So it's all of the above. You know, so many of our students leave. They go to, almost all of them go right to industry centers, whether it be New York, mostly New York and LA, some Chicago, some now Atlanta. I mentioned New Orleans. A couple are going to New Orleans, and they're doing quite well there for film and television specifically. You know, most of our students come out of the showcase having booked, you know, or built management and agent relationships. All of them come with industry connections, so when they hit the ground in New York or LA or wherever, they can hit the ground running. And they do. That's the goal. You know, of course, COVID threw a kink into some students' plans, and they couldn't move as planned. And now they're on the move, which is great. But really, that's the goal: that you get to where you want to be, and you're ready to work, and audition. I had a great teacher in college. This was at CCM named Dion, and Dion said, you know, when you get to New York, I want you to be in an audition room and know you're the best actor in the room. And she said, it doesn't matter if you really are or not, but I want you to believe that you're the best actor in the room, because you're going to only audition with confidence, and you're going to give yourself, all of yourself in there. And I, you know, we try to lead our students to do the same, to go to New York and know that they're really well trained, that they should be confident in their skills, and they're second to no one. And they do, which is great. And they, gosh, I'm talking you to death, Tim. I will tell you, like, every program has their vibe, you know, their energy. You know, we shared an LA showcase with CCM for a number of years until COVID, and both really good programs, and both have a different vibe and energy, and it's really interesting. And I would say that our vibe and energy is that our students are exceedingly good actors, but also good people. We really, really, really focus on that in their training, that you can be a good person and be supportive of others and champion your classmates and your peers when they get something that you don't. So they get to New York and LA, wherever they are, and agents, managers, casting directors love them because there's no BS. They're just good people. So we really work hard at that. And so that's our vibe. You know,
beautifully said. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, it's an industry that will tempt you out of that sometimes, and we just, you know, have them lean on each other. Say, Trace, stay true to yourself. You know, right. Be your honest, authentic self, and you're gonna kill it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let's switch gears now and talk about the audition process. I think that's the reason why most students tune in to listen to this podcast. So tell us, my first question always is, do you pre-screen?
We do. Well, we go to many, many audition sites. And from those, we will invite students to audition. So we pre-screen in that way. But what we don't do is we don't have students submit and pre-screen those. We view every submission as a valid audition submission, final valid audition submission. So once a student submits, they're there. So I guess we do a lot of previewing, I suppose I should say. We see thousands of people traveling around the country and going to different auditions. So some of the audition hard applications we get are people we have previewed, if you will. Others are people we're seeing for the first time. Mm-hmm. But we're not pre-screening. I have found this is so. And you know this, Tim, sometimes you get an actor in the room who in their video audition wasn't as present as they should be. And it could be because they didn't have the support or the understanding to bring the honesty out in their audition. And you give them the chance to get in the room and you give them an adjustment. And you think, oh, my gosh, there's an actor in there that I wouldn't have seen in a pre-screen. So that's why we tried to do it this way. And we see students come in sometimes that we never would have selected out of a pre-screen that we're like, oh, you're in, absolutely.
Right. So when you say you're going to different audition sites, you're referring to thespian festivals and things
yeah.
that? So
all the
you go to like,
unifieds and
that wouldn't be a that wouldn't Unifieds would be the final audition. You're talking about like the previewing would be thespian festivals, SCTC, things like that. And then they're
Unified.
invited to either they're invited to a live audition or they apply and book their live final audition. And those final auditions can happen either on campus or at Unifieds. And is there anywhere else that they can do a final audition?
Yeah, we do a whole host of virtual auditions as well, virtual live auditions throughout January, February, March. And I don't know how many dates. Generally, we have about 8 different dates of virtual auditions that students can audition live. Again, a chance to get them live in an audition room and give them some adjustments so it's not just a video audition. And it's time consuming. I mean, it goes back to our faculty here. They're giving up pretty much every weekend through, January through April almost, and to give, get these students in the room. But those live virtual auditions and on-campus auditions, of course.
That was a happy byproduct of COVID, is I think we all discovered that you can actually do that virtually, and students' costs and time are just cut down so much. I think that's a really wonderful thing. Of course, you know, it
I
is
agree.
always better to be in the room whenever possible, but I think the reality is with the students needing to audition for so many schools, they just need so many schools on their lists now. That those virtual auditions have really been a saving grace through this
It's
process.
wild. It's in international students, it's been it's completely opened the door for international students. I think we've had students recently, from Costa Rica, Dominican Republic, Poland, and others I can't think off the top of my head. It's just wild what this process is, how that opened doors that way.
Have you actually seen an uptick in geographic diversity from of your students since you've been doing virtual?
Yeah, absolutely. Very much so.
Wow.
Yes, which has been, when I got here 17 years ago, probably 80% of our students came from Missouri or the surrounding states. And now probably 90% of our students come from well outside of those our geographic range. They're coming from East Coast, West Coast. We get a lot of students from Texas. Sacramento and that area seems to be a hub of students coming in. And north, we attend Chicago, so we see a lot of students from, the north central areas. And it's really, and all that's, related to COVID and the onset of digital formats. It's pretty wild.
So when you're seeing these students in person, virtually, wherever, what are the audition requirements?
For acting, we ask them to do 2 monologues. And that's, and really have a little mini just conversation. They can expect that an adjustment in their monologue, which, by the way, students, if you're out there listening, an adjustment for your monologue is a great thing. I hear students all the time that think they didn't like me, they made me redo it. No, it's amazing. It means we see something in you, and we and but no adjustment doesn't mean anything either, so don't read into it. So yeah, 2 monologues, a little mini discussion. I don't want to call it an interview because they are viewing us as well as us them, as you know.
Yeah,
And
I think I hate that when they call it interview because then my students are always like, well, how do I prepare for this interview? How can we practice for the interview? And I usually say, don't. That interview, if you have a canned answer to something, it's going to read like a beauty pageant on stage question as opposed to just getting to know that person in front of you. So I don't like that they call those interviews.
I love that you tell your folks that because we are looking for somebody with honesty in their person and in their performance. And nothing will detract from that more than canned answers. We just want somebody's heart and soul, who are you? We want to know who they are. So I
Are
love
there
that too.
any requirements on those two monologues, contemporary, classic,
Yeah,
time-wise? What
we ask that they be contemporary. We don't ask for classic pieces. you know, we're not going to frown upon it if a student chooses to do one, but we ask for contemporary pieces, generally different in, you know, hesitate to call them dramatic or comedic, but because there's trappings in there, as we know, but just things that have a different vibe to them. You know, two mm-hmm. different monologues that speak to who they are, perhaps, or what their strengths are, but are different in maybe outlook or tone. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm gonna put you on the spot a little bit with,
yeah, sure.
You just mentioned we don't really say dramatic or comedic because you said there's trappings of this. So, define for me what a comedic monologue is and what a dramatic monologue is.
So, you're hitting the heart of acting class right now, which is, you know, we teach our students, do not emotionally preconceive what a scene should be. It is about discovery and it is about listening. And the problem, especially, you know, with students who have not, you know, most of which who haven't had professional training yet, is they hear the word dramatic and it comes with trappings like, this means I'm angry, which already they've preconceived the entire tone of the monologue, which means there's no honesty, no discovery. The same thing with comedic. They pick comedic and they think, my challenge here is to be funny. And they get caught in trappings of what it is to be funny, when we know what's really funny is something that's it's unexpected and truthful with comedic circumstances. So for students who haven't had that, perhaps, and some have, don't get me wrong, but students who generally have not had that training yet, it can come with trappings to think this is dramatic and this is comedic. And so we prefer to say, you know, this one might have a lighter feel to it, or this might have more emotional depth to it. So, yeah, there's different ways to say it, but we do try to avoid, you know, the trappings of comedy and drama.
I usually say dramatic just means not funny, and comedic just means not sad.
I love it.
I mean, there's nothing else to it. And if you get wrapped up in, I need to cry, or my students, I say, stay away from death, drugs, and divorce. Like those three D's in the dramatic monologue, because not only have you probably not lived enough life at 17 years old to accurately understand what's happening if you go to something that deep, you have 60 to 90 seconds to get there. So if it's a monologue that requires you to be thrashing around on the floor, sobbing your face off because something terrible has just happened, how are you going to go from, hi, my name is Tim and I'll be doing this monologue, to that level of intensity in under a minute and a half? Like, you don't have to go to the extremes. I say the same thing to my MT kids. You don't have to sing the song that has your highest, loudest note.
Bingo.
The people behind the table are smart. They'll see that there's something there. Just do what you're going to be comfortable doing and what's going to be effective in a small audition room and not on stage in a 2,000-seat theater.
I love that. I mean, I love that you're teaching your folks that. And absolutely, same thing for musical theater. I tell students all the time, do not think you need to show us everything. You're going to college to train to be an actor, to find out and discover your craft and figure out what your assets are and you know, your individuality and how you bring truth to all of that. But if you come into your audition trying to prove to us that you can do everything, chances are you will prove to us the exact opposite of that, that maybe you're not, we won't see the honest you. And that, yeah, absolutely, that pertains to songs and monologues. We tell students, you know, stay away from those, exactly what we're talking about, but also, you know, heavy dialects or characters far out of their age range that might trap them into some boxes. But I think students do. I think they think, oh, I need to show them that I've done Death of a Salesman in high school and that I can do Noises Off. And no, we just want to see who you are and is there truth in you. That's it. And let us figure the rest out. And yes, for musical theater as well, Tim. You know,
so how many... I'm sorry,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, how many incoming freshmen are you looking for in the BFA acting program?
We generally admit about 18.
Yeah. And
we don't have an exact hard number. We keep it pretty flat, but generally it's about 18.
And since you do such an extensive travel schedule, this may not be an easy question to answer, but how many applicants are you getting roughly every year?
I don't know exactly. I mean, again, we view thousands. I'd have to look at the hard numbers. Maybe as far as hard applicants last year, maybe 600, something like that, mm-hmm. somewhere around there as far as hard applicants. I'm not really sure. I'd have to go back and look at the numbers.
And since you don't have a hard number or a goal number for your incoming class, this also might not be an easy answer, but how many offers are you generally making in order to get to that class size?
It's changed since, you know, one of the things that we talked about is how COVID has expanded things a little bit. So we're seeing many more students from broader geographic ranges who are also getting a broader number of offers, which is amazing. So, you know, so it's changed a little bit, and we're trying to figure that out. Generally with acting, if we make probably 24, 25 offers, we'll be at about 18 to enter.
That's great.
Now, historically speaking, you know, 10 years ago, if we had made 18 offers, we would have 18 people coming in because they've all visited. Because they were only auditioning for three programs at that point. This time, now kids are auditioning for 12, 14, 15 programs. And good for them, they're having more opportunities to find the right space for themselves. So, you know, in MT, as you know, the numbers are even wilder. They're more competitive even. So, the way we do it here, the acting teachers see the MT auditions, and Bob, the MT coordinator, comes into our acting auditions as well. So we see all of those students for both programs. Mm. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said, will you redirect then?
That's exactly what I was going to say. So I would tell students, I mean, I know musicals are very, very, very popular in high school, and as they should be. So a lot of students come in having no experience as non-singing actors. So they don't think of themselves or their potential in that way. So we will watch musical auditions sometimes and we'll say, okay, that student's voice is maybe not what it needs to be for a musical theater program. However, their monologue, there's truth in them and there's a lot of potential. So we will redirect them. Absolutely. I think probably 5 to 6 of our acting entrances last year actually were musical theater auditionees. Who we said, hey, and that's a hard, honest conversation sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a good conversation, and they thrive here, and they can still take voice, and you know they can still perform in musicals. So I think that's important. You know, some of our students we suggest a redirection to dance. You know, and that's because we have a dance program too. So we do have that conversation. You know, I tell students all the time, if you have an opportunity to check both boxes for your audition, I want to be considered for both musical theater and acting, I would do it. I would do mm-hmm. it and let the process, just my opinion, but I would let the process play itself out.
Yeah.
And people might tell them otherwise, that's fair.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's different at different schools, of course, because as you're saying, there's the opportunity for the actors to have quite a bit of crossover into the musical theater world and still get uh-huh. Musical training as part of their education. And in other schools, it's not as possible. You're in the MT bucket or you're in the acting bucket, and there's not a lot of crossover. But I think at your school, checking that box to be considered for both is definitely smart. What are 100%. The... what are you looking for when you see a student for the BFA acting program that's going to catch your interest and get them an offer?
You know, on the academic level, we look for students who are going to survive in college, do well in college, and thrive. That doesn't mean you need a 4.0, because some students come from circumstances where the 4.0 wasn't supported. You know, like they didn't have the support for that academically. So. But we do look for the capability to thrive in an academic environment, of course. You know, when we watch their work, we want to know who they are as a person. It's really important we get a sense of who they are. We want to get a sense, is there truth in their performing? And is there capability for them to develop that in the classroom? So sometimes, and we watch a monologue, and really it's like looking, and the monologue may not be super truthful as a whole, but then we see a moment, we're like, okay. Okay, let's rework this a little bit and have them drop in and see if there's if they can find that truth. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, some, you know, here's the tricky part. You know, we don't type students. We don't admit by gender. We look at pure sort of potential and talent. So some part of my brain is looking at a student and saying, you know, how do they resonate in the room and how will that resonate in 5 years, whatever that means, or 4 years or 3 years. You know, do they just bring life to the room? And Tim, in my experience, if they bring their whole self to the room and they're honest and they're available, the answer to that is, yeah, they can really, there's something special about them. If they, you know, once they have their training, they're gonna be incredible. So, yeah, like I said, we're not a program. We're not known for being shiny. I mean, we're just not known for being shiny and putting types out there. We're known for putting honest, organic actors out there of all different shapes, sizes. You know, they're interesting people who are true to themselves, and that's kind of who we are. So,
great.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the last question that I always ask all of my guests, please tell us something that you're looking forward to in the upcoming semester.
Oh man, we have so many exciting things. Like I said, we're opening a brand new theater, which is just incredible. Really looking for, next weekend we have John Goodman coming in and you know some so that's really exciting. This has been years in the making. So I'm in production right now. We're doing Last Days of Judas Iscariot, which opens on a Wednesday. Really looking forward to that. It's a challenging piece and a dynamic piece, and I'm just really excited about it. I will tell you, personally, I love audition season. I love getting out there and getting to know high school students and building those relationships and meeting their teachers. You know, I just love it. For me, that's one of the best things about this gig is getting to know those people. So,
great. Yeah. If students or parents want to learn more, what's the best way to get in touch?
Yeah, I think you know, they can contact me directly, Kurt Heinlein, MissouriState.edu. They can pop onto the website at MissouriState.edu, and you know, our website's pretty darn good, and they can find out whatever they need to know, as well as my contact information. If they're interested in musical theater, they can, you know, contact Bob Westenberg directly. But either or, you know, his office. I could knock on the wall of his office. We're screaming back and forth to each other every day about students. So, just drop a line to one of us about acting in musical theater, and we'll get you in the right place. So,
beautiful. Well, Kurt, thanks so much for joining us today and letting us into your incredible program there at Missouri State.
Thanks, Tim.
And we look forward to having you back here real soon.
Well, thanks, Tim. Thanks for what you're doing as well. We appreciate it.
Oh, thanks so much. Bye-bye. For more information on the exciting training, workshops, and resources we have to offer at The College Audition, please visit us online at www.thecollegeaudition.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube.